Hi guys, and welcome to Health Tech Matters. Today our guest is Annie Liu, Senior UX Researcher at Ada Health, Applied Anthropologist, practicing martial arts, Krav Maga in her free time. Welcome to the podcast, Annie. You're right now a UX Researcher at Ada Health, right?
Yes. I am a UX researcher at Ada Health. I advocate for people's voice, for their needs, and also ensure that we are producing and developing products that meet their needs.
LinkedIn says that you are a UX researcher and applied anthropologist. What is applied anthropology?
So anthropology is a discipline that studies culture and human society. I think anthropologists traditionally are really about long-term participating and observing different cultures and understand how they interpret things from their perspective. And that's what we call emic. And then, but then also from the outsider's perspective, what we call ethic, to interpret and understand their worldview. And I think I call myself a plant anthropologist because that's the kind of practice that I still do as a UX researcher, and that's the foundation of my UX research knowledge.
Yeah, right. And could you please tell me more about the latest UX research project that you had at Ada Health? Maybe you can tell us more about customer journey.
Yeah, definitely. Ada is core technology is symptom assessment. So this means our key target user are people who have experienced some kind of symptoms that when they get sick. So then they will use Ada. When I joined, we started to do, based on also previous researchers' research, we did more like a foundational understanding of people's usual care-seeking journey. So the first stage starting from somebody experienced some symptom and then they're trying to make a decision on what to do about it. So what kind of platforms, resources, people or channels that they try to gather information to help them understand and decide what to do, what kind of criteria do they take into considerations? Once they have made that decision, then they become to the second stage of that journey as they want to decide or choose from the various options which one they will take. It doesn't even have to be in one healthcare system as like the Western medical one. It could also be more traditional, local or self therapy things. It could also be more psychological things in different cultures. Now we're thinking about the market in Tanzania, and we know that there's also some kind of folk medication that's local. Once they have viewed all of their options, kind of weighted the different things that have to decide, and then they continue to the next stage to actually seek care. The research allows to lay this out for different geographies. So we start with the US, but then we compare with Europe, and then we are also looking into Tanzania because we are in Africa, in different cultures, because we do have hypotheses they could differ a bit, but we don't know what would be the key difference. And this is kind of a constant research that we do in different markets as Ada is a global product.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's actually very interesting. Who is the target audience of Ada Health? Could it be any person, or you have a specific ideal target persona?
So at the moment, Ada is most suitable for people who are experiencing some acute symptoms that they are not really sure what it's about. Mm-hmm. Because Ada is really good in helping people figure out unknown symptoms.
What I'm thinking is that, for example, with my startup, addiction treatment, we always work with people in crisis. So person needs help as soon as possible. You might not be able to recruit people who are in crisis right now, and they might be able to reflect on their past experiences in a different manner because they're reflecting and not right now in this situation.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I did also research for COVID because we had a COVID screener, and then we tried to recruit people who had symptoms but don't have it anymore in the last months. And I think at that time, the memory is quite fresh. So they were able to describe it. But to be very critical about it, it's definitely influencing the result as they are reflecting retrospectively and they will answer things a bit differently. And now I'm actually designing a research that's doing a diary study. So that's in the situation and it's with some short questions. So it's not as involving as the in 1 hour interview type of research. And we're just saying, okay, if you have experienced some symptoms, please try to use EDA and then answer these few questions afterwards. So that's kind of the more in situation research we have. And the third one that we are getting this kind of in situation feedback is directly in the app. And that's something I've been working a lot or thinking about a lot as a researcher at EDA as well. So now typically after the assessment, people have the opportunity to do a post-assessment survey, and then they will provide like quick feedback on how helpful it was and if there's anything that's missing and what was not working for them. So this is one touch point that we're also getting some feedback from this group as well. Yeah.
As your target group is extremely broad, do you use frameworks like jobs to be done? Because obviously user personas won't work, or maybe other frameworks.
Mm-hmm. But you mean like frameworks that kind of helps narrow down the people that we're designing for?
Yes.
So more for design purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's more like use case level. And then what's the health profile of that person? So it's more about how healthy that person currently is, meaning does the person has some chronic disease or multimorbidity, and then the experience for them could be a bit different. And then in comparison to the people who consider themselves usually healthy, but then suddenly they are feeling a bit sick. So we have some very general type of categorization like this.
Okay, I see. Who is the main driver of UX research projects that you start?
It's two key ones. I think one is from the stakeholders themselves. So it could be designers, product managers. Usually these are the closest to stakeholders that could initiate some research questions that they have. And then they come to us. And then we have an intake process. So we have like a Google form where we ask some scoping questions. So typically, what is the objective? What is the questions? What is the timeline that help them think about it before they come to us as well? But then on the other hand, and I think this is something I feel when researchers become more senior, we'll start to do more, is for the researcher to observe and understand the business strategy and then the market trend and kind of where's the wind blowing in the company and identify knowledge, important knowledge gaps that could require some research and that could be helpful for making key decisions or developing some key parts of the product. So I would also say, okay, I see that we are moving forward towards that, say, doing more, just an example, let's say we want to do more preventive care. And then we say, but we don't have a lot of understanding in this company about it. We have read some other open research, but then there's still a knowledge gap here that requires some research that will help us a lot tremendously in the process. And then I could also suggest that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. And one thing that is always so challenging in user research is dealing with people who already seem to know what would be the best.
Mm.
And you have to somehow make them believe that user research is needed in this specific case. So how do you deal with this? Or you maybe you didn't have it.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't feel that people don't want to do research because they know the answer already at EDA, but research might just not be prioritized because of the urgency of development and there's no time for it. The second part is how do we convince people that UX research is important? It's a bit about showing people, for me always, like we can talk a lot about, okay, we have to do human-centered design. We have to follow this process. This is very important. If you don't do this, then this will happen. But the most effective way for me is really always to just convince them to come to one user interview, for example, and they observe it. And then they hear it from the end users for themselves. And then usually most people would be quite inspired, or they would be like, confirm what I feel is right, but there's something that's surprising to me. So they feel both good about their existing knowledge, but also there's some elements that could be interesting, inspiring for them. It's also about engaging people throughout the entire process, so they see how the research is done. And then in the end, communicating the insights in really relevant and engaging and attractive ways. And when I say relevant, it's not only about presenting it based on their needs, but also making the deliverable very easy to use and applicable for them.
That's interesting recommendation. But how do you convince a person to come to user interview?
You mean like the fact that they would even come is already...
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, even like people who tell me and they say, yeah, it's super important, they still might not come, you know, they're just like, I'm too busy and I wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah, I think, okay, it's more like a cycle. So one possibility is that they have been to my previous presentation, and that presentation could be a company-wide presentation, because we do have some opportunities that we do company-wide explanation of the insights that we do. So everybody's just there. And that in that presentation, then I show more like a direct video clip of an interview that I have done. So they get a sneak peek of what this is about. And I explain what UX research is about and what its goal is. And then also give a case study on the impact of the insights and how it impact or how to guide it or how to help us orient the design, a decision that is made, and then how that design has changed our product. So really giving a very concrete explanation of UX research and its impact so that people know why we need to invest the effort into doing that well.
Yeah, that is extremely valuable. First of all, because you're creating a document that can be shared between different people, and you should not invest in every single interaction with a person. Invite one person to user interview, but sharing such a document with your video explaining it might be a great way to share on scale.
One point that you say ring a bell with me as not every stakeholder has equal decision power on the UX research. So there are definitely more important stakeholders for UX research. And I think it's often the product manager or the product designer that are directly on the product, are closest to it and working on it constantly. And I'm saying this also because I'm working horizontally. And that's why this is my situation. And for those key stakeholders, I go the extra mile to bring them on board, no matter what. And it could even start from casual conversation. I know this doesn't sound like a very concrete suggestion, but I think there's a lot of, you know, human interaction that also creates the interest just by even a coffee chat that's starting as unofficial, but through a bit more understanding, they familiarize themselves. And also I understand better their perspective that will allow me to push things forward. And as they are these key stakeholders, it does make a difference for that product and for that impact that we want to see, even though it's not very scalable, as you say. Yeah.
One thing that is extremely important in user research, especially if you plan your program, is to identify which parts of the product, what kind of challenges will affect the business. How do you identify which user research challenges are the biggest priority?
I will start with the usability test type of findings. It's relatively straightforward, as we do also use kind of this impact and effort framework type of mindset. But the impact here, I would define it as the impact to the end user. And if we don't always do it, but if possible, it's also possible to see the impact on the business as like one aspect of that. And then the other is the effort, which then requires also the participation of the PM that leads the team to say, okay, how much effort that would be, or estimation of that. And then for healthcare or for ETA specific, as it is a medical device, then another impact is on the medical safety of aspect of this product. We also have usability engineer, which is part of our UX research team. I don't know if you also have usability engineers in your company.
No, maybe
it's like very specific for medical software as a medical device, as we have to pass the audit as we we define a product that's under the MDD. Usability engineer is a process that focuses on ensuring that the devices are properly evaluated and are safe and usable for the users throughout every step of the product development process. So how risky is that usability finding that we have found? What does it mean for our users? And this column, I'm thinking about my Excel sheet in my mind, so I'm like, this column is the highest priority for us at ETA, probably should be for any medical device company, as we do want to produce product that meet the user's needs. But our first goal is, of course, to make sure it doesn't harm them.
Since you mentioned impact, how do you measure impact just in general level?
Yeah, that's a very, very difficult topic, I think. So I would say the first question to ask is, what is the impact that we want to see? So is the impact that we want to increase the conversion of people accessing a certain service that we provide? So as I said, our enterprise product, we have two steps. We start with the symptom assessment, and after people finish their symptom assessment, they get a report. They see the different possibility of the condition they could have. And then there's a button called, what can I do next? And then they can go to be guided to different services. So we will hope they will then book the next service. And then that kind of impact could be one, this conversion could be a tracking of something that we could easily have. So in one example is that the impact we could measure is, okay, have done a research, we uncover this and this usability problem in that step. And then we made the changes in June, and then we measure how the conversion rate has adjusted. This is, of course, not always very clean, because there could be other variables that could affect it. It could be season, it could be the world changing, it could be marketing that's also doing some other experiments. I think this is, in a way, the easiest one, as analytics data is already there. And the other ways that we have tried to make some measurement is, for example, this post-assessment survey I was talking about. So if we would make some measure difference, and then we want to see if it has become more helpful or it has not changed. The question is really, what is the impact we want to reach? And then defining that together with the stakeholders.
It's actually one of the most important parts when you are trying to communicate with stakeholders and trying to get their buy-in, because you are appealing to a specific impact, and obviously you should be able to prove it in a reliable way.
Yeah, but I think like right now, you know, given very direct to product kind of research, but for the explorative research, it's definitely harder to measure the impact. It's really difficult. They could have made like a big decision on it, but the decision, or like start a new product line. And then I would then question, is it about measuring the impact? Or is it like, you know, as the product development process is quite long, is it about in 3 years, then we'll see if this product that we develop based on that foundational research actually brought us this amount of revenue. So of course that would be the full story. But it's nothing that we will be able to measure and prove already immediately after that research.
And do you think there are some ways around this? How can you measure success of explorative research?
Well, okay, so I have not thought about it. I mean, it's a really good question because it would be really helpful for us, I think, in the industry to be able to convince people that we do need more of this kind of research. And if I would have a good answer, that would be really great. I think the problem with foundational research is just that it's so far away from the product coming to life. It's more like, it's like a business market sizing evaluation rather than actual measurement. And in a way, I think that ambiguity is still fine as it's thinking about the future and it's making a decision that's for the future. And it's also very normal for business to say, hey, we see this potential here that if we will invest in this part, we could gain this number of people and that would bring us this amount of revenue. So this is more like a business case, market sizing kind of exercise that could be connected to the explorative research rather than the measurement.
Switching gears a bit and talking about your findings. So how do you prioritize your findings?
It's not just from the UX researcher's perspective. It's from the different multidisciplinary stakeholders' perspective when it comes to that as well. What we provide most strongly is just the impact on the user based on the research learning we have. But for more generative study, like more explorative findings, I feel what has been helpful is also if it's for a certain product team or a certain group that has that understands that field, that market better. So it could be a multidisciplinary group that includes business, design, also our medical experts, engineers from all kinds of perspective, and then bring these people together to have them from their perspective prioritize together what could be the highest potential type of, let's say, how might we that we want to deal with based on that research finding is another way that or I have been using to prioritize what's the most interesting insights to act upon.
So you might be using workshops a lot.
Yeah, I really like using this tool and making it very interactive and doing co-creation so that people really kind of own their decision and own the insights after that process.
What are your core three tips to a person who's running user research insights workshop for the first time?
I think the most important thing is you have to prioritize the insights you bring to the workshop because it could be very dense already. It could be based on the frequency. Of course, it's a qualitative research, but still it's like something that's standing out the most important insights and pattern that's coming out from it. And then you already do a filter of that information for the group because it just could be too much information. And the other, I think I kind of talk about it is you have this multidisciplinary mix and to have people who are decision makers of that impact that you want to make. So the outcome of it could be actionable or it could be taken forward. Like somebody have to inherit it and then take it forward. And then the third thing I think is that it has to stay with the core competence of the company. So it's important to inherit that in your workshop design that refers back to what the company is doing so that whatever comes out of that is not just an exciting idea that sounds super cool and you can just go and start a new company, but something that would be helpful for the team to continue to bring forward and act upon.
Yeah, and especially a second tip is quite interesting because it brings us to the question of making your insights actionable and actually dealing with a stakeholder or part of the team that will be implementing those. So maybe you have some your best practices from your experience that helped you to move the needle?
Yeah, I have tried like different things for sure. So I have tried like I writing out the suggestions because stakeholder like, okay, I listen to your insights. I want to know what you suggest. But I come to realize when I don't have enough understanding of that product or that development process, then it could be difficult to make a very on-spot suggestions. So, and also, no matter how attractive one's presentation is, it's only presented. People don't own it and they don't bring it forward. So to make it actionable, I think it's really to make people own it as much as possible and to think about the suggestion. I'm not saying that you should think about with like everybody, but you think about with the key people who are actually going to do. And I could have a draft and that draft can be already reviewed by some of them and then discussed. Or we could just discuss together. It really depends on the relation and the investment of the person as well. And then the last thing that I do, and I also kind of talk a little bit about it, is to make the deliverable very easy to use. So I might have like a deck, which is for presentation and communicating, but then I put everything, let's say, in the Excel sheet so they can easily extract it, or I put it in like any format that their product development process is working on. Let's say they have a mirror board where they have all the user stories, and then I could already like put the insights there that connect to their process with them. And all of that makes it easier and less, more frictionless for them to access that. And that's what I try to do.
Mm-hmm. And do you track if these insights were used? Or do you maybe even push people to use them?
Yeah, I do. And that, so the deliverable, even like Excel overview also helps me, because then I leave a column that I say, if there's some implementation that has been done, I just kind of vaguely follow through if people have done it. And if I see that it has not happened, then I will follow up on it and then kind of nudge people a little bit to do it. Yeah, that's how I do it usually.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Listen to the second part of our conversation in the next episode and subscribe not to miss the updates. Bye.